Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews chapter 8. If yours is a Scofield Bible, turn to page 1297. 1297. I'll be reading the first six verses of the 8th chapter of Hebrews. The fourth verse is a text verse. We'll turn to one other verse after we read this passage. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Turn now to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10 in your Scofield Bible, page 1204. 1204. We'll read just one verse. We'll read the sixth verse. Let's read. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. And let's pray. And Father, we've looked forward to this service. Sunday mornings are wonderful. And the entire day is filled with blessing and good things. We're so grateful for our church and our preacher. But on Sunday nights, it's just somehow a little extra special. We're thankful for this great church, for its being filled to capacity. We thank you for those who've come from far and near. Now, it's a tall order to fill to satisfy all the needs of so great a people. But Father, thou art equal to the task, and thou hast chosen a man of God to give us what you want and what we need. And we surely appreciate that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Without your turning to it, I'd like to read two passages. One, both of them read a while ago, but one I want to single out. Without your turning to it, I read in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. I want to speak tonight on the subject. This subject, thank God, Jesus is not here. Thank God, Jesus is not here. Now, don't go to sleep now. hear me out. Now, I want to read for you this verse, and this is a potent verse. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Did you get it? If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Now I want to read one verse. We read it a while ago. I want to read it again. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. What he's saying is, we don't want anybody to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above. And then, of course, our text verse, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Follow me carefully as I speak. Father, bless the message tonight to our saved souls. And may we rejoice in our position in Christ. And may some accept that position. Amen. I'll let that microphone stay right wherever it wants to stay. Tonight I want to talk to you about something that is doctrinal, and you'll have to listen very carefully to totally understand it. And let me say this, I realize we're late tonight, and I promise you the message will not be as long as I had planned it to be. I will not tell you how long I had planned it to be. In fact, I haven't planned it yet. I plan to plan it after I get through with it. And I'll plan it longer than it actually was. If Jesus walked in this room tonight, he walked in this room tonight, I would immediately, instinctively feel pleasure. Then I would feel disappointment. And then upon realizing exactly what was happening, I would be horrified. If I could bring Jesus down here tonight and have him sit on this platform, I would not do it. Let me just make it very plain. I don't want him here tonight. You say, hold it, Brother Hiles. Wouldn't you like to see Jesus? Not down here tonight. Don't misunderstand me. I want to see him, but I don't want to see him down here right now. Why? The answer is in Hebrews 8:4. If he were on earth, he should not be a priest. I've got to have a priest tonight. And if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. And that's why in Romans 10:6 we read, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. So, I'm saying, if you could tonight bring Christ down from above, I'd stop and say, don't do it. Don't do it. We need him there. And if he is not there, then if he is not there, I cannot see him there someday. If he comes down here, he cannot be my priest. Because tonight, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father as my intercessor. Now follow me carefully. He saved me by his death. He keeps me saved by his life. I got saved because I relied on his paying my sins on the cross. He paid my sins as the Lamb of God. But as the high priest, he took his own blood into heaven and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat and sits there tonight as my high priest. And if he came back tonight, he could not be my high priest, so I want him there and not here. Let me see if I can illustrate. In the Old Testament days, they had a high priest. The high priest, only one high priest at a time. That high priest, once a year, would take the blood of an innocent substitute, an animal sacrifice. He would take that blood inside the holy place, the tabernacle, if you please, and he would take it past in the courtyard. He would take it past the brazen altar and the laver, and then inside the holy place itself, the candlestick over here, the table of showbread over here, and the altar of incense here. And then this magnificent, beautiful veil separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Inside the Holy of Holies, there was what was called the Ark of the Covenant, and the top of that ark was solid, pure gold, and it was called the mercy seat. Now, that high priest, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the seventh month and the tenth day of that month, he took this blood. And by the way, the lamb was slain as the substitute, the offering for sin. But the lamb slain is not enough. The blood must be applied. You recall back in the Passover night when the death angel came over in the 12th chapter of Exodus and freed the Israelites from the land of Egypt and the bondage there. God said to Moses, Moses, you tell the people to choose a lamb, a male lamb, a male lamb without blemish. Choose it on the tenth day of the first month, and let each family do that. And then, after 4 days of watching it and testing it, then that male lamb without blemish shall be killed, and then the blood shall be taken to the doorpost of the house and applied on the doorpost. Now, if somebody had just killed that lamb, then the death angel would not have passed over their house. It's not only the lamb slain, it's the blood of the slain lamb applied on the doorpost. Now tonight, the high priest took that blood on the Day of Atonement of the innocent sacrifice and took that blood and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat on the top of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Then he came out and cried, "It is finished!" He was the high priest going to the very presence of God on behalf of his people. Now the Bible says that he offered a lamb. He went once a year. He went to the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. He put that blood on a piece of pure gold on the top of a piece of wood. It was the blood of an animal, and he did it. A high priest did it every year until he died. Let me tell you about another high priest. My high priest not only sprinkled, not only was the lamb slain, he was the lamb that was slain. When John the Baptist announced his coming on the banks of the Jordan, he didn't say, "Behold, the King of Kings." You don't need a king till you've had a lamb. He didn't say, "Behold, the Lord of Lords." You don't need a Lord till you have a lamb. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid my price for my sin. But that's not enough. If Mr. John MacArthur is right, all of us are lost without God. John MacArthur says the blood of Jesus well may be at the foot of the cross. John MacArthur's got a hole in his head big enough to drive a Mack truck through. The blood of Jesus is not at the foot of the cross. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross is no more good or of no more efficacy than the blood shed on the Passover lamb. It's the shed blood applied that's necessary. And God the Son became my lamb that took away the sins of the world. But then he rose again. He rose, the Bible says, for my justification. He died for my propitiation. That means he was the lamb. He rose again for my justification. That means he rose so he could take the very blood that he had shed and take it inside the mercy seat in heaven and sprinkle that blood on heaven's mercy seat. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. So the Old Testament high priest took the blood of a lamb and took that blood inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood and then came back out. My high priest died as my lamb, rose as my high priest, went inside the Holy of Holies in heaven, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and stayed there. And for 2,000 years he's been there. Now, if I bring him back, I don't have a high priest. And if I bring him back, he is not interceding for me, and I'd lose my salvation. But I cannot lose my salvation. I cannot lose my salvation as long as my high priest is interceding for me. You recall that wonderful story about the cities of refuge. Beautiful story. God said to the Jews, the Israelites, "I want to give you 6 cities of refuge." That means if somebody committed involuntary homicide, killed somebody involuntarily. There were 3 cities on one side of the Jordan and 3 cities on the other side of the Jordan. And a city was close to anybody. Now here's a man that committed involuntary homicide. Then there's the city of refuge over there. He could flee to one of those 6 cities. And he was protected in those cities from the pursuer. Let's suppose, for example, that I killed somebody that was dear to Ed Lupina or somebody in his family. And I didn't mean to do it. It was involuntary homicide. And Lupina says, "I'll get you back." Well, I run over here to this city and I hide in that city and I'm protected from him. And how long am I protected? The Bible said, as long as the present high priest lived. Now, it wasn't the job of the involuntary murderer over here to save himself. It was the job of the high priest to see to it he was protected in the city of refuge. But when that high priest died, then he had to leave that city. When I realized I was a sinner, I fled to Jesus, my refuge. And I am protected from the penalty of sin. And the Bible said that the Jew was protected as long as the high priest liveth. Bless your little peat-picking heart. My high priest, Hebrews 7:25 says, ever liveth to make intercession. That means I'm saved by trusting what he did on Calvary for me. I put my case in his hands, and bless God, I am kept by his intercessorship because he's my high priest as long as my high priest lives. And bless God, my high priest will never die. I don't want him to come back here.
I want him to stay there. I'm a goner if he comes back here. I've had it if he comes back here, and so have you.
Oh, I'd like to see him. And I'm getting up there where it won't belong till I will see him. I've been preaching about him for 50 years. I've pointed thousands of people to him. I've talked about him every week of my life for 50-some-odd years. I often wonder what he's going to look like. How tall is he? Exactly what does he look like? I'll see him before too long, but don't want to see him down here. Boy, I was reading the story the other day in Acts chapter 7 of Stephen, and it's funny how the Bible comes alive. I get in there. You know, David, I was reading the story about David one day, and all of a sudden, David took off, you know, that day when he's supposed to be out there fighting, and looked out the window, and there's Bathsheba taking a bath. And when David went over to that window, I got up there. I said, "Don't look, David, don't look, David, don't look." He came alive to me. And when Stephen was there being stoned, he looked up and he said, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And all of a sudden I shouted, "Sit back down. Sit back down. You can walk while you're standing. Don't you leave there. My only hope. And by the way, your hope is not your good life. And your hope is not holding out faithful to the end. Your hope is the fact that we have a high priest at the right hand of the Father who's interceding. Hey, Jesus, don't come back down here. I want you there. I need you there. I've got to have you there." Hebrews 7:3 says, "He abideth the high priest continually." The high priest in the Old Testament only went once a year. My high priest is there all the time. At this very moment, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, sitting down, pleading my case. And if I sin, I never do. But if I ever do, the devil's going to be my accuser. And the devil's going to say, "Look at there, Father." And Jesus is going to say, "Yeah, you look at there, Father, there's the blood." And the devil says, "Look what Howes did." And the Father says, "I can't see it. Can't see it. It's underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I don't want him to come back. I want to see him." Hebrews 7:3, "He abideth the high priest continually." In Hebrews 2:17, "He's a faithful and merciful high priest." In Hebrews 3:1, "He's a high priest of our profession." What does that mean? That means the only claim I have for salvation is because my high priest is there tonight. I stand before God, and God says, "What right do you have to come in?" If I said, "I joined the church," he said, "Well, that's not enough. I lived a good life." It's not enough. "Well, what right do you have to come in?" I got a high priest there. He took his own blood and went to the presence of the Father and sprinkled his blood on heaven's mercy seat. And the Father says, "Come on in." You know, I feel sorry for these people that bring salvation down to, you got to earn it to get it, and if you don't do right, you lose it. Brother, there's not one single thing you could ever do to earn salvation. There are not enough good works you could do to earn salvation. The Bible said, "Our righteousness is like filthy rags." You can't do anything to get it but take it. And you can't do anything to keep it but let your high priest take care of it for you. He's my daysman. He's my go-between. He's my intercessor. He's my mediator. Let me explain. He came as a lamb. He rose as a high priest. Now follow me carefully. He's coming back as a king. But what's he waiting on to come back? He's waiting until I get my glorified body. Because when I get my glorified body, Brother Jack, I won't sin anymore. I won't need a high priest then. But as long as I got this old body right here, I need him up there. So as soon as the rapture takes place, and I rise in the likeness of Christ, behold, it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
When I rise in his likeness, I won't sin anymore. And he'll say, okay, I can leave now and come back to earth. I can come down to Jerusalem. I can establish my kingdom. I can rule and reign for 1,000 years. I can come back to earth again. But I can't come back till old Hiles gets his glorified body. Because as long as he's got his glorified body, he's got to have a priest. Oh, you charismatic people hanging on to your salvation. Won't you get you a high priest? You people confessing your sins to the priest and El Papa and getting your sins absolved. Why don't you get yourself a high priest? You people trusting the waters of the Baptist to the Savior. Why don't you get yourself a high priest? You people trying to hold out faithful to the end. Why don't you get yourself a high priest? My Bible said, being justified by his death, we shall be saved by his life. I'm not kept saved tonight because I live good. I'm kept saved because he's there as my high priest. And so he came as a lamb. He rose as a high priest. He'll come back as a king, but he can't come back as a king till my body is like his. As long as my body can sin, he must stay there and be my high priest. I must have him there. He's where I need him tonight. That's why the resurrection is so important. You know, we don't say enough about the resurrection of Christ. I never win a soul to Christ without telling him that he rose again for our justification. That's as much a part of the gospel as Calvary is. Tell the people that they're sinners. There's a price on sin. Jesus paid that price. And if they'll trust him, he'll forgive their sins, but also tell them that he rose again to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He saved me when I trust his death. He keeps me saved because he ever liveth to make intercession for me. Somebody tell the charismatics to meet the high priest. Tell the Sabbath keepers that say, got to keep the Sabbath to be saved. Meet the high priest tonight. Tell the Arminians that believe you can get it, lose it, get it, lose it, get it, lose it. That's a height of conceit. If you can do something bad to lose it, you have to do something good to get it, and that's conceit. There's nothing good enough that you could do to get it, and there's nothing good enough you could do to keep it. You get it as a gift of God. Gift of God, and you keep it because your high priest is there tonight interceding for you and for me. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That means his life at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Don't come back, Jesus, now. As soon as I get this new body, come on back. But don't come back now. I need you there. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I do things that are wrong. I need you there. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that you trusted the Savior, meet the high priest. Meet the high priest. Pope. Meet the high priest. Meet the high pope. Hey, across the street over there. All saints. Hey, 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 you sinner trying to absolve somebody else's sins. Meet the high priest. The low priest can't absolve your sin. The high priest absolves your sins. Meet the high priest. The falling from grace crowd knows about the Savior, but not about the high priest. Now listen carefully to me. I promised I'd be brief. Listen carefully to me. I need him there. That's my only hope. Tonight, go home and take a good, go to sleep and have a good night's rest. Don't fret about any sins you may have committed. You may have some punishment on earth about those sins, but the Heavenly Father doesn't even know you got them. Because Jesus is there reminding the Heavenly Father of the precious blood that he shed on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. I need him there. He's my intercessor, but wait a minute. He needs me here. He needs me here.
I am on earth to him exactly what he is in heaven to me. He is my representative pleading my case before the Father. I am his representative pleading his case before man. He could not be here to preach the gospel tonight. That's what I'm here doing. He could not be here tonight to tell you that you're saved by trusting Christ and kept saved because he's your high priest. That's what I'm here to do. And that's why the buses roll. And that's why we bring the folks in. And that's why we preach the gospel. And that's why we have the invitation. Brother, if he will take care and represent me in the presence of God the Father, I dead sure will represent him down here on earth.
You folks are ashamed of Jesus. At work, you're ashamed to talk about him. Boy, you better thank God he's not ashamed of you. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And I'm not. He's not ashamed to call me his kid brother. I'm not ashamed to call him my older brother. So my job is to intercede for him who intercedes for me. He cannot be here tonight. If he did, we'd all be in a mess. I cannot be there. So he sits beside the Father tonight, pleading my case. My high priest interceding for me. And then he says, I need you to intercede for me. Jesus cannot go up and down the streets of Chicago and knock on doors. He's busy interceding for you. Looks like to me you got a pretty good deal. Looks like to me if he's up there taking care of your case, looks like to me you wouldn't mind taking care of his case. So tonight, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. My mama's looking at him tonight. Comprehend it. It's hard to comprehend. My mama for 12 years has been looking at him. When she died, she looked up and she said, can you see him, son? This was the night before she went to heaven. She said, can you see him? And I looked up and I said, no, Mama, I can't see him. Who is it? She said, I can see Jesus. There he is right there, son. She said, can you see him? I said, no, Mama, I can't see him, but I believe you can. She looked up and she saw her little girl, Lorene, who never walked or talked, and Hazel. Each died at the age of 7. And she said, son, there's Lorene and there's Hazel. She said, can you see them, son? And I said, no, Mama, but I believe you can. And she said, Lorene and Hazel, you've never seen your brother, have you? I don't know what they said. She said, Lorene, I want you to meet your brother. And Hazel, this is your brother, Jack. Jack, I want you to meet Lorene and Hazel. I didn't know what to do. I just... There's Uncle Roy and Aunt Octi. There's Uncle Basil and Aunt Gary. And there's Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy. Can you see him, son? It won't be long. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to pray. He'd pray, dear Jesus, I want to see you. If I thought you were over in Jerusalem, I'd get the next airplane and fly as fast as I could. I've had to stay in line 3 or 4 weeks. I'd stay in line just to get to shake your hand one time. I heard him pray that prayer when not long before he went to heaven. Now for these many years, he's looking at his face. Old Dr. John Rice, I've heard him pray in the back seat of the car time and time again. Be driving down, Dr. Rice said, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to see you. He's been looking at him now for 16 years. Brother Olaf's been there. And it won't be long. It won't be long until... one of these days, somebody's going to say, did you hear about old Hiles? He died. Yeah. I'll be 120 because we could never die young. But the word's going to come, did you hear? The plane went down. He made a mistake and flew Valiajet. Or worse than that, he flew U.S. Scare. His plane went down. And don't feel too sorry for me. I don't want to die. I do not want to die. Several reasons I don't want to die. First place, I don't want to get sick.
I don't want to go that route. I want to go to the upper taker instead of the undertaker. I don't want to get sick. Second place, I don't want anybody else dressing me. I got preacher friends. They take a trip, and their wife lays out their clothes for them, what they're going to wear when they take a trip. They'll make popsicles in Hades before she tells me what to wear. Pardon me, I'm going to Hades to get a popsicle right quick. I want to decide what I wear. But the main reason I don't want to die is because I'm afraid John Alt can't fix my hair right. I only have two hairs. They're both 14 feet long. And I just weave them across the top of my head, and they got to be at just exactly the right spot. When I get them right there, I get that hairspray. And I paralyze them with hairspray. And it stays right there for 6 months till I wash my hair again. I don't want to die. But when I do, don't you feel too sorry for me. Because I'll see him. But I'll not be able to see him then if I see him down here now. Because if he comes down here now, then I won't have a high priest. Because he has to be there pleading my case. And then one blessed day, my mama, when she's dying, if you went to see her, she made you sing. And mama sang about like I sing. She probably saw angels stopping their ears up too while she was dying. But mother'd make you sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. If you went to see her and sat beside her bedside, mother would say, sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. And we'd get to that last stanza. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer. When I drop this robe of flesh, and I rise, and it's like this. And I'm like him. And I'll see him as he is. Jesus, you can get off the throne now. You can get off the place where you've been sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'll never sin again. I don't need you as my high priest. Come on back! Become the King of Kings and rule and reign for 1,000 years. You were my Savior 2,000 years ago. Now for 2,000 years, you've been my high priest. And as soon as you come again, you'll be my king. But he cannot be my king forever unless he stays at the right hand of the Father. So I don't want him to come back tonight. Why don't you realize what salvation is? Well, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to do the best I can to earn heaven, make heaven my home. You'll split hell wide open. You know, if you die, you go to heaven. I think so. I'm pretty good. In first place, you're lying. You're not pretty good. You're pretty bad. And you're not going to go to heaven because you're pretty good. And you're not going to stay saved because you don't get bad again. And you're not going to lose it because you do get bad again. You come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And He washes your sins away and refuses to write any sins of the future down. And then Jesus, the living Christ, rose to take His blood to the presence of the Father. And there He'll sit. There He'll sit. Until we see Him. And are like Him. And then when we're like Him and rise to meet Him in the air, we'll come back with Him to earth. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Won't need a high priest then. But praise God till that day comes. I need him up there. He's got to stay up there. And I don't want him down here yet. I will not be with him forever there if he were to come down here and leave his post as my high priest. So, my text says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. When you get home tonight, take your shoes off. Get up on the bed and jump up and down and have a spell. Praise God. Glory to God and hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Thank Him that He was your Lamb. His blood was shed.
but thank him that that blood was shed was applied at the presence of the Father, and Jesus sits there tonight at the presence of the Father, and the devil says, oh, how's the sin? Jesus said, there's the blood. There's the blood.
And the Heavenly Father looks down and says, what sin are you talking about? I can't even see them. Jesus is sitting at... Now tonight, if you think you're saved because you joined a church, you've got to realize you need a lamb and a high priest. If you think you're saved because you live a good life, you need a lamb and a high priest. A lamb to get you saved. A high priest to keep you saved. It's his job to save you. It's his job to keep you saved. Would you bow your heads, please?